truths in all those songs. He's asked us to be a sanctuary. The world, we need to be, someone says, we not don't need to be in church. We need to be the church. And I think that's true. We need to be living the way Christ has called us to live, out every day, out in public, out so the world can see Christ, because they're not going to see him anyplace else. We're in part 12 of our series, Prophetic Clues in the News. And as we said a couple weeks ago, we're right as we moved along the prophetic timeline. We are at the very next thing that needs to happen. That's the rapture of the church. We've been living in this period known as the church age. And that's really since Christ returned after he rose from the dead. In Acts chapter 1, we see that happening. And I believe that Revelation doesn't say, you're not going to find the rapture other than in the place we're going to be looking at. So you can turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll have it up on the screen, but I've said this before, when you teach through the book of Revelation, or I teach through the rapture, I always start in the book of Revelation, even though the rapture is not mentioned there. Chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation are the letters to the seven churches. At the end of chapter 3, he closes that section, and then the very next verse, chapter 4, verse 1, the scene shifts to heaven. And that's where the rest of the book of Revelation is taking place, showing what's going on, but comes back and shifts back to earth during the tribulation. But the church is never mentioned again after chapter 3. So I believe the church age is coming to an end, and very quickly. As it says up here, the king is coming. Are you ready? And that video we started off with in the morning was a fairly new movie. I'm not even sure what it was entitled, but that was just, it said the rapture could happen like this. We're not sure exactly how it will occur, but there have been all kinds of books, all kinds of, well, let's pray first and commit this to the Lord. Father, we just pray that you would just bless our time as we look at your word now as this topic that has been very confusing, but very interesting to many people. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to understand that the time is coming. And Lord, we just pray that we would be ready and we would be sharing the gospel with so many people people we come in contact with, that lives would be changed. And Lord, as the portrayal in that video we watched in the beginning, it's only those who turned a light and went up were your children. The other ones were left behind. And what a tragedy that will be for those who are left behind who don't believe what we're talking about today. So we pray, Lord, that you will be glorified in us and motivate us to be people to go out and share. In Jesus' name, amen. As I started to say, there have been all kinds of books, all kinds of movies, all kinds of ideas, all kinds of thoughts about this event. And I think it's probably the most controversial, probably most incorrectly taught event to happen. And it's certainly the most misunderstood, one of the great doctrines in the church, but not well understood. So I have up here, what does the Bible really teach? And that's why I asked you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. Oops, I don't have it up there. I don't have the passage up there. I thought I had the verses up here. So let me read this to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Christ, God will bring with those who have fallen asleep. For we declare this to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep or those who have died. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry and a command, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. And it closes, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So we want to look at three things. I have in your notes there, three things that I think are going to be an encouragement to us. Number one is, what is the rapture? Well, the rapture is an end times event. We know that we are in the last days, but the end times is spoken about, and Jesus refers to the last days, but it's an end time event that's going to have great great significance, not only on the church, it's going to have direct impact on the church because we're going to be taken away, but to all those who have rejected Jesus Christ to this point, those who have refused to accept the gospel. And the Bible says that's going to be the broad way. The narrow way are those who trust Christ. The broad way, the popular way, the common way is to reject. Even if you've heard, and you have probably more friends who are going to go to hell than you do friends who are going to go to heaven, because we all know people who've rejected, people maybe who've rejected your own personal testimony. But it takes place the moment that Christ returns for his church. And it's going to be an instantaneous happening. It's going to be the resurrection when Christians, the moment it happens, we're going to receive our new bodies. We're going to have this new earthly or new heavenly resurrected body. It says first, those who are dead in the graves, those who knew Christ and died, are going to be taken. And then we who are alive, we're going to be taken up. But it is instantaneous. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15 to you. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must be put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality." So it's going to happen like that. In the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. But there's great confusion. I think hopefully we're going to get to this and show you a little bit about what's going on. There's great confusion among believers and even pastors who I've talked to who get these two very separate, different events confused. One of them is the rapture. The other is the second coming. The rapture occurs when Christ comes back to take every believer that is alive. So if Christ were to come back today, he would be taking us to heaven with him. He resurrects us. And he takes those who have died first. But we're going to be removed from what's happening here. I have this up here. Someone said this. The rapture is God's protection of his saints from the tribulation. It's protection of God to protect the church from what's going to happen. After the tribulation, Jesus comes back as king. I believe the Bible teaches that the Christians will not be going through the tribulation. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. And if we were to be left behind on the earth during this tribulation, that would be condemnation. There will be misery. There will be death. There will be destruction. All kinds of sin. I have family members who believe that we're in the rapture or in the tribulation right now. That the church has entered the tribulation. I don't believe that. I believe that the church is going to be spared completely from anything that's going to be happening here. But it happens at the end of the tribulation. I want to go through a quick chart here. I didn't leave you a whole lot of room in your notes. You can write on the back. But at the end of the 7-year tribulation, the Bible says Jesus is going to come back. That will be the second coming. His first coming, he came as a humble baby. We just celebrated that a few months ago. Born in a manger. This time he's going to come back as the powerful king, the ruler of the universe, and he's going to be honored and surrounded by his saints that have been with him the previous 7 years. See, the rapture, he's going to take us up and we'll be in heaven with Jesus for 7 years. There won't be any Christian or any Holy Spirit down on the earth. All good will be removed, but we're going to come back with him at that time. Matter of fact, it says in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his throne, the glory of all the nations, and will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. But let's take a quick look at the difference between the rapture and the second coming. At the rapture, Jesus comes for his church. All right, he's going to come and take us with him. The second coming, Jesus comes with his church. He's going to take us up for the 7 years for the tribulation, at the end of those 7 years, after all that destruction and turmoil on earth occurs, he's going to come back with his church. We will be with him when he returns. At the rapture, Jesus' feet don't touch the earth. That's why it's not called the second coming. We meet him in the air. At the second coming, his feet touch down on the Mount of Olives. Let me read it. This is out of, Zechariah chapter 14. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil will be taken from divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be shaken or taken, and the houses plundered, and the women raped. Half of the city shall go into exile, but the rest of the people shall be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as when he fights on the day of battle. On that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, give that second coming. That's not the rapture. We'll already be taken. The rapture, Jesus comes to bless his bride. That's you and I. That's the church. That's everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This is going to be a great, great time. That's what we're waiting for. That's the day that we're expecting and anticipating and hoping can come any moment. At a second coming, he's coming to bring judgment. At the rapture, he's going to bless us. The world's cursed. The world. We're going to be talking about that next week as we wrap up the series, The Mark of the Beast, what's going to be happening to those left behind. But the rapture, he's going to bless. Second coming, he's coming to curse. Then kind of wrapping this up is the rapture can occur at any moment. The second coming happens 7 years later. All right, so there is a great difference, so people do get confused. The rapture is not his second coming. The rapture is the joyous day we're going to be taken up. But if you want to hear what's going to be taking place on earth next week, after we're taken,
be back next week as we talk about the mark of the beast. But a quick difference between the rapture and the second coming, all of those things, but keep in mind, the rapture could come before we finish up here this morning. The second coming will be a definite 7 years following the rapture. So here it is. When is the rapture? The good question. There have been people all the time, young people, or people since I was a young man, would set dates. And I think I mentioned this. I found the tape probably 10 or 12 years ago, and it was really hard to understand, you know, cassette tapes kind of lose their effect, even if they're not being played much. But I still remember this guy in our church said, in 1975, if Christ doesn't come back, he says, I take the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other, I know it's 1975. Well, 1975 came and went. That's the year I graduated from high school, and I was hoping he was right. That would have been awesome. But it came and went, and he was wrong. And there have been hundreds and hundreds of people over the years who have given dates and said, this is when it's going to happen. I saw just one on the internet the other day. It was May 14th, 2018. He changed it to May 14th, 2019, on May 15th last year. How he was wrong, how he said that was he misunderstood something, didn't figure something quite right. Yeah, he's never going to get it right. I can tell you, if it's not before, it won't be May 14th. Because we don't know. We don't know when it will be. Only the Father knows when it's going to happen. But there are, again, let me just remind you that and point out, I don't want you to think that everyone agrees with me. There are people, good believers, who don't see the rapture taking place until after the second coming of Christ. And they believe that rapture, or the Christians are going to go through it. But it's going to be a terrible time on earth. It's going to last for 7 years. And then Christ is going to come back and he's going to bring believers with him. I'm not in the camp that says we're going to go through the tribulation or that we are going to suffer in any way the way the world does. But we know the rapture is going to be instantaneous. But nowhere in the Bible does it say we should try to predict dates. that we should try and come up with a time and determine the time. We're just told to watch.
Matthew 24 says, stay awake or keep watch, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming.
We're just simply told to anticipate him. So the three views, number one is the pre-trib.
And I have those down in your notes here.
The pre-trib is that Christ is going to return before the tribulation period. He's going to take us to heaven.
I remember when I was going through my ordination process,
I had to be interviewed and met with like 40-some pastors over the three-year period. And it was pretty well equally divided, pre-trib and pre-millennial return of Christ. I'm on the pre-trib, and I believe the pre-millennial return is he's going to come back and set up his kingdom here before the millennium. That's going to be the thousand-year period. There's other people who disagree with that. But the pre-trib view says that it's going to happen at any moment. It's going to happen before the tribulation takes place. There's a mid-trib view that says that midway through, 3.5 years into the tribulation, Christ is going to come back and he's going to take believers with him. And then the other obvious one is post-trib. The rapture is going to occur at the end of the tribulation. And like I said, I have family members, I have good friends who completely disagree with me,
who fall into one of these other two camps. But I ask this question, does the timing of the rapture really matter?
Does it really matter in the long run if we go before the tribulation, midway through the tribulation, or after the tribulation? I said there's good people in each of these viewpoints.
What does matter and what all three groups will say is it matters, is your home for eternity secure? Do you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
I would never stand up and say these guys are definitely wrong if they believe that we're going to go through it. I happen to believe that we won't. We had people in this church who disagreed with that. Remember, we talked about that. Good people in our Bible studies would come and say, I don't quite agree with this. I think we're going to go through at least part of it. But they were good, godly people, and we disagreed in gracious ways. But I want you to understand that there are other teachings on this. I happen to think that the rapture could occur at any moment. All right, so then number three is just asking the question, are we prepared for the rapture? The subject should really be an encouragement to us. That's what he says at the end of chapter 4. He says, therefore, encourage one another with those words. Be excited. Be encouraged that we're going to be meeting the Lord in the air at some point, whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. We're going to be meeting him in the air. That's very clearly taught.
But I want you for a few moments to think about those who don't know Christ. Think about those who, in that video that we started with,
watched their loved ones go up. Can you imagine the horror of not going up, of watching a loved one ascend into heaven? Maybe you hear the trumpet. I don't know if the world will hear it. Maybe it will just be believers. There's disagreement on that as well. I happen to think the world will hear it. I think it's going to be a testimony against part of the judgment against them, that they're going to hear this and they're going to see Christians go. But imagine being a man and watching your wife and children go up into heaven, and suddenly you realize she was right. She's been talking to me about this gospel for years, and I've seen it in my kids, and I never believed it. Can you imagine the horror that's going to be taking place in their minds?
But I think of the trumpets sound like the school bell at the end of a school day. I've been subbing for the last couple of years, and I can tell you this
is the way I kind of view it. Most students are ready for the bell to sound to go home about a half hour before the bell actually sounds. Teachers are ready about lunchtime for the bells to sound and for the kids to go home.
But it's been interesting as a sub that I've had some students
ask if they can just come up and sit at my desk for the last period. It's called Flex in the middle school. It's a tutorial at the high school. In the last half hour, they're supposed to come into your room and get work done or be quiet and do something, you know, work or play on their computers. But it's interesting. I have several kids when I sub in certain classes. They say, can I just come up and sit by you and talk to you? And I always allow them to come up and sit by my desk.
I've had some who, when the bell sounded,
said, Mr. Hagee, can I stay and just talk to you for a few minutes?
And I said, sure, that's great. I say,
the bell sounded, you can go home. Well, I don't really want to go home.
I don't have anything to look forward to when I go home. I don't want to be around my family.
There's nothing for me to do. My parents aren't even home. I'm home by myself. And you hear kids talk like that, and that's the way the lost are looking at that. There's nothing. They have nothing to look forward to. They don't have anything to look forward to going home. They don't have a home. Their home is here.
But for believers, we're like the teacher's view. We are excited. We're anticipating. We're waiting for that sound. We're waiting for that moment when we can go home. Because that's where it is. We're just passing through this life, right?
Our citizenship is in heaven, and we're looking forward to our home in heaven.
But the key is, if you look at this passage, the key is in Christ. We must be prepared before the rapture occurs, because there won't be a time after the trumpet sounds.
I'm going to skip what I was going to say here. On the day of the rapture, there's going to be two groups believers will fall into. And then we're going to have a common meeting point. So we're going to look, number one, at the dead in Christ. We're going to kind of skip through this a little bit because I had some other things that I don't feel like I need to say. But this is something, this is believers who made a personal decision to trust in Jesus Christ
alone. You know, I may be on this list.
If Christ doesn't come back soon, I could die very easily.
I know a lot of people who aren't it.
I have family members, friends who've died, mom and dad and a sister. I want to see Billy Graham. I want to see Peter. I want to see John and Paul and the other apostles. But again, this is for those who've made the decision to trust in Christ alone. We're going to wake up in heaven. That's what that says. I want to, Ron, there's words below that says finally home on my below my PowerPoint. But I want you to play a song. This is an old song written by Don Wurtzen. And we played this a couple of years ago. My best friend growing up's mother died, and her mom loved this song. So we had a hard time finding it, and I'm not sure if you're going to be able to see it, but you have to listen to the words for it. But it says, waking up in heaven. All right, so this is for those who are dead in Christ. And you can be thinking of someone, maybe you have a loved one, but go back to the words right after you get it started.
You air and finding it. is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory.
Remember Mrs. B, we called her, Mrs. Baxter. She was my Sunday school teacher.
I said she was my best friend's mom growing up. And just thinking about that. And then thinking back to family members who've lost and realized that's what it's going to be for them. The moment they died, they woke up in heaven. Isn't that an awesome thought? Let's go to where we need to be here. When is the rapture?
Okay, so dead in Christ, they're going to be taken up first.
Next is we who are alive and left.
I like that how it says it. It's those who remain,
the King James says, but the ESV says we who are alive and left. This is you and I if we're alive.
I might be on this list. I don't know. Very easy to make the first list. If he comes today and I'm still here, I'll make this list. But this is all who know Christ and are alive when the trumpet sounds. And we'll hear it. If it's today, you and I will be on this list. If it's tomorrow, we don't know when our time is. We don't know when we're going to see him face to face. But I loved what Fanny Crosby said. You remember that Fanny Crosby is the one who wrote so many songs, the blind woman? She said, I love being blind because as a blind person, as a blind believer, the first face I see will be my Savior's face. Isn't that an awesome thought? We're going to play another song. This is an old song that a lot of you will probably remember. I remember hearing this back when we were in Bible college. Sandy Patty's We Shall Behold Him. And I want you to think about the words to this as well. This could happen today. But the song is, I just remember hearing her sing this a couple times in concert. But what a powerful, powerful song. Okay.
Shall unfold. Sweet.
that make you excited? Didn't that thrill you?
Russ, I don't know if you want to sing that song at the end.
Russ was saying we had a hard time hitting some of the notes in that middle song that we sang. I don't think any of us could hit that one, but I love that song. Just, are you ready? We're going to behold him. We're going to see him face to face. It could happen at any moment. So those two groups are the ones he talks about, but there's one common thing that we're going to do is we're going to meet him in the air. This meeting takes place, and it's going to culminate eternal life for the believer. Do you understand that? We've trusted Christ for eternity. We know our hope is in heaven, our home is in heaven, but it's going to come to pass the moment that he calls us that day. When we hear the trumpet sound, we meet the dead in Christ, and we're going to meet them in the air. We're all going to be changed. Our bodies are going to be different. And it begins here, and it leads to this joyous meeting in the clouds. Man, I'm excited. That song, every time I hear it, I remember hearing that back in the 80s in college and thinking, oh, it would be awesome if it would happen. It's almost 40 years later, and it still hasn't happened. It's going to. I don't know when. We can't give you the date. I know what the rapture is. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know we need to be prepared. And if you're not, or if you know someone who's not, if you have a family member or a loved one, please share with them. Joyous moment for us, but the destiny of the saved is one of great joy, great anticipation. But those who are lost, they don't know what to anticipate because they don't know what's coming. They don't believe any of this stuff. But we know it's true. And we know what our hope is. We know where our home is. But we also know, even if the unsaved don't want to hear it, we know what their destiny is. We know what they're going to be facing. We're going to be talking about that again next week. But our hope is in the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, the rapture of the church. It could happen today. It could happen next week. It might not happen for a few years. But I believe the signs are all pointing to it. The very next event that needs to occur is the rapture. Russ, come up and lead us. Just one verse in our last song, the King is Coming. Jesus is Coming Soon.